I hope that the Holy Spirit will bless you this morning through the words that I, his servant, have to say. He left behind a life of luxury to serve on a long-term mission trip to an impoverished land. Now, when I say long-term mission trip, I mean years without a vacation. It's not that he minded the hard work or the long hours, though, because he felt so much love and compassion for the people he had come to serve, especially those who were suffering, the marginalized, the mistreated, and the sick. He was even known on occasion to shed his own tears out of empathy for those who were suffering. Almost as if their pain had become his own. Now, let's switch gears just for a moment. Any of you who have ever served on even a short-term mission trip to a third world country or to any people who live in poverty, even in this country, you know that one of the great rewards of such service is that the people so much appreciate the fact that you're there. And I can say this from personal experience. Even if you don't get much accomplished in the great scheme of things, the people are always so grateful, so thankful for the fact that you left your comfortable place, your comfortable home, to come to them, to serve them. But in the case of our young missionary in our story, unfortunately, he received what you might call a mixed reception from the locals. It's true that there were many who loved and honored him, and whenever he traveled from one small village or small town to another in the land he was working, oftentimes crowds, large crowds, would come out to greet him. They were so glad that he had come to see them. But then there were other people in the land who were jealous of the young man. There were others who felt threatened by him, especially the leaders of the country feared that somehow he posed a threat to their political position or their high standing in the country or within their community. Eventually, the opposition reached fever pitch, and the young man lost his life on the mission field. Now, when I say that the young man died, those words don't really do justice to how much he suffered there at the end. He died such an excruciating and protracted death that the method of execution just had to have been invented originally by Satan himself. Now, I don't know this. I don't know this for a fact, but I can imagine as this young man's blood dripped from his dying body, I can imagine Satan laughing his head off, vilely, viciously, maliciously, cruelly, because of his perceived victory over this young man and all the work he had done and all that he stood for. But praise God, the joke was on Satan. Because because what Satan perceived to be his greatest victory turned into his greatest defeat. King David's prophecy of the resurrection of the Christ had been fulfilled. God will not abandon me to the grave, nor will he let his Holy One see decay. And this is from Psalm 61:10, and here where David is talking about me and my, and seemingly talking about himself, he really is talking about his descendant, the Messiah, which was a common practice among the Hebrews at that time. So, our young hero, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is now in heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He is clothed in majesty and glory, and he is receiving angelic praise. He's getting what he deserves, not what he got here on earth. So our story has a happy ending. But there's some good news in this story for us as well. Our Savior promises us, and these promises, or this promise was later reiterated by the Apostle Paul. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, if we confess and believe, our Savior's shed blood will blot out all of our sins, from the least little white lie all the way to first degree murder. Praise God. Praise God. So, why did our Lord's death and resurrection turn out to be Satan's greatest defeat? Well, way back in the beginning of time, back in the Garden of Eden, Satan enticed humankind to disobey God. And we've been sinning ever since. Well, now, thanks to the shed blood of our Lord, humankind has an opportunity, if we will only just reach out and grab it by confessing and believing, an opportunity to make our way back to the Garden of Eden. And if you have any doubts about that, check out those last two chapters of Revelation. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But that's not all that my Savior has done. You see, the young medical missionary in our story, who happens to be the great physician, is still in the practice of healing. Still today in the practice of healing. Flash forward about 1,914 years later, a baby girl was born in post-World War II Northeast Mississippi. Now, this child had everything she needed in the way of basic necessities. She had food, clothing, shelter, presents at Christmas and for her birthday. And fortunately, she was good in the classroom. But sadly for this child, other people were an unfathomable mystery to her. If only people and people relationships had been as easy for her to wrap her head around as the information in her textbooks, her life would have been much easier. As it turned out, this child suffered from obsessive compulsive disorder. And later, when the child was grown, she had grown up, she realized that during her childhood, she had displayed the classic symptoms of Asperger's syndrome, which many of you know is on the autism spectrum of disorders. The girl grew up to young adulthood only to suffer from bouts of depression and severe anxiety. But today, she is roughly 95% healed of all those maladies, thanks to the healing power of Jesus Christ. as far as the remaining 5% of her illnesses, God's grace is sufficient for her, for his power is made perfect in her weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. Okay, again, flash forward. This time, several decades later, the little baby boomer girl, who by now you've probably figured out is named Linda, has reached adulthood and actually to a pretty advanced age. She is married. She has 3 grown children and 4 grandchildren. Now, the youngest of the grandchildren, Emma, is 10. And about 8 to 9 months ago, Emma started suffering episodes of strep throat. Eventually, the seemingly never-ending bouts of strep morphed into a mystery disease that left doctors baffled. Emma became unable to swallow. She became dehydrated. Her weight dropped from 90 pounds to 62 pounds, and she had to be put on a feeding tube. Emma, her mind was just, her brain just erased seemingly. She suffered complete amnesia. She couldn't remember the people in her life. I mean the important people in her life. She didn't remember how to count. She didn't remember how to read. She couldn't do math. She couldn't remember her pretty sizable list of vocabulary words. It's almost as if her mind was a dry erase board that had just been completely erased. Emma became unable to speak clearly, intelligibly, because she could not make consonant sounds. I remember, and this broke my heart, one time she told her mother, I, ooh. That was her typical way of talking. Emma also became unable to walk. And in a desperate attempt to be able to move around, get from place to place, she started walking on all fours like a little animal. The only hope our family had during all of this time was the fact that just as Emma was starting to decline, she told us that Jesus had appeared to her and told her that everything was going to be all right. she would be healed. But it would take a long time. And then he said, "Tell your mama to stop crying." Okay. God never breaks his promises. And I want you to know that Emma has today, she's made great progress. She's in school, not doing her grade level work yet, but she's in school. She's making progress. She still has a long way to go to get back to normalcy, but it will happen. God will keep his promise. Now, I have a short video to show you or give you a picture of how Emma is today. Now, this video is about 4 weeks old, but this is basically the way Emma is now. So if we could have the video, please.
Keeping it local in Dothan, over $20,000 were raised at the Pause for a Cause event last Thursday. And a neat story has surfaced since then between a young girl battling a difficult disorder and a golden retriever looking for a home and a new love. Our Courtney Chandler has more on that.
Meet Emma McBroom. This fourth grader was at the top of her class and recently won her school spelling bee, hoping to have a promising future, until something unexpected happened.
She started a succession of sicknesses until finally she ended up with strep throat. And she developed something called PANDAS, and it is where strep kind of affects your whole body and causes inflammation of the brain.
She suffers from functional neurological disorder, which blocks the brain from sending signals to the body.
Instead of getting better, just continually got worse.
Emma has suffered with this condition for 4 months, looking for hope, but most of all, just a friend. And then she met Gracie.
And she would just put her head in my lap, and she was just showing so much love and affection, and I just knew she was the dog for me. And then yesterday at the auction, she was just doing the same thing, and she was just loving on me, and so we decided this is the dog for us.
Not only did she gain a friend, but also a partner.
She needs to get all better too, and you and your daughter can work together on getting all better, and so I thought, yeah, let's work together.
They will encourage each other and encourage others dealing with the same obstacles to never give up.
Am I just going to be sick for the rest of my life? No, no, no. You're going to get better. It might take a while. It might take months or years or weeks or I don't know. But you're going to get better someday, and someday you're going to be all better, and you're going to be like, forget about the past. I'm better now.
Keeping it local in Dothan, Courtney Chandler, WDHN News 18.
Now, if this story couldn't get any sweeter, just listen to this. Emma aspires one day to own her own pet store, so she says she can save puppies and share them with other kids that are dealing with difficult circumstances. A great, great story to start our Monday today.
So, God is good all the time. All the time. I would like to conclude with one thought. Well, I need to mention first that what I've tried to do today is to weave together the stories of three people in order to give glory to one. The mighty one, the one who gives us hope in a world that so desperately needs it, Jesus Christ. I give him glory. And here's my concluding exhortation for you. If any of you owe King Jesus your own debt of gratitude. And if you're saved, you owe King Jesus a debt of gratitude. But I'm sure he's done much more for you than that. If you do owe such a debt, share your story with others. The last thing our Lord said to us before he went back to heaven is to do evangelism, spread the word throughout the world. Spread the word, spread the good news. And, you know, I used to think that doing evangelism took a lot more courage than I have. And I actually even thought that sometimes you had to be a little obnoxious to do evangelism. But I've learned that that's not true. All you have to do is to just be in a conversation with somebody and say, or ask, can I share with you what Jesus Christ has done for me? If the answer is no, well, you've done all you can do but pray. It's up to God to change the heart. But if you get a yes, boy, you have an open door. You have an opportunity. Go for it. Tell everybody about Jesus. I'd like to conclude, well, really conclude, and honestly, this is the conclusion. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Thank you, and may God bless you.